Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to have you with us on this Easter Sunday morning. Delighted to share in this wonderful day with you. Thanks also to the ladies for the beautiful floral arrangements that you will see in the windows, reminding us of this special day of Easter Sunday and the new life that Christ brings into the world. I am going off on leave immediately after this service. The car is packed and I'll be heading down the road. But if you need a minister urgently during the week, then the Reverend Robert Heron has agreed to be available on call if you should need a minister. Next Sunday, then, the service will be taken by the Reverend George McClelland, and Sheena Heron will be our organist. I'd also like to draw your attention to a concert that's taking place this Friday evening here in the Rowan Hall. The concert's been organised by Calvin Davison as part of his course at university. He has got together a wonderful selection of musical choirs, musicians, soloists, including himself and his brother, as well as Omagh Music Society and many others, to the Rowan Hall on Friday evening at 7:30. This is part of his course, but Calvin also wants to raise money for the Air Ambulance Northern Ireland in memory of his friend, Kyra McKinley, as you know, who passed away tragically last August. So if you're free on Friday evening, then please do come along to the Rowan Hall and support Calvin in this enterprise. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful, entertaining evening. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead and has claimed us as his own. He has brought us out of darkness and made us light to the world. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us stand and bring our praises to him as we sing our opening hymn, See What a Morning. Hymn number 439.
Thank you.
Let us come before our great God in prayer. Let us pray. The days before Easter are filled with stories of people surrounding Jesus, some of them who loved him deeply, falling short. And though we love Jesus, there are times when we too fall short. So we join together in a prayer of confession. Forgive us, God, for the times when we deny you, when the risks of discipleship are high, and we are nowhere to be found. When we wash our hands of responsibility, or cast our lot with powerful oppressors, seeking to buy freedom with silver. Forgive us when fear keeps us from witnessing to your truth, or prejudice keeps us from believing it. In the bright light of Easter morning, O God, our sin is exposed and your grace is revealed. Tender God, raise us in your love so that with joy we may witness to your awesome deeds in the name of Jesus, the risen one, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Brian Wilson is going to bring us our scripture reading, which will be taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. And this can be found on page 689 of the Bibles in the pews. Isaiah, chapter 25, starting at verse 6.
Here on Mount Zion, the Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all the nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and the finest wine. Here he will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow that has been hanging over all the nations. The sovereign Lord will destroy death forever. He will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes and take away the disgrace his people have suffered throughout the world. The Lord himself has spoken. When it happens, everyone will say, He is our God. We have put our trust in him and he has rescued us. He is the Lord. We have put our trust in him and now we are happy and joyful because he has saved us.
Thank you, Brian. I don't spot any children in the congregation, so we'll not do the children's talk, but its focus was obviously on the empty tomb and the fact that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead and he is our Saviour. So we're going to sing our next hymn, which is 210, I'm Special Because God Has Loved Me. Let us worship God together. Our second scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43, and this can be found on page 162 of the Bibles in the pews. Peter is in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and he is telling him the gospel story. So we have here a condensed version of what Jesus achieved for us when he died on the cross. So starting at verse 34, Peter began to speak. I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know of the great event that took place throughout the land of Israel, beginning in Galilee after John preached his message of baptism. You know about Jesus of Nazareth and how God poured out on him the Holy Spirit and power. He went everywhere, doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. Then they put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from death 3 days later and caused him to appear, not to everyone, but only to the witnesses that God had already chosen, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from death. And he commanded us to preach the gospel to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets spoke about him, saying that everyone who believes in him will have his sins forgiven through the power of his name. Amen. As we think about Christ on the cross at Calvary, the choir are now going to lead us in an anthem, Were You There?
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Tremble. Were you there when they nailed him
in that reflective peace of worship. And let us continue in an attitude of worship as we come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, on this day of resurrection, we give thanks for your great love for the world, and we pray for the people of this world, the rich and the poor, the friend and the foreigner, the powerful and the powerless, the believer and the non-believer, all of humanity, each person unique in their own way, and yet all created in your image. Some reflecting that image more clearly than others, and yet each one loved by you, their creator, and by your Son, their Saviour. We pray, O Lord, for those who seek to share your love with others through word and action. We pray for those who are young in the faith and are filled with passion and enthusiasm for the gospel. We pray for those who have served you faithfully for many decades and are still striving to do their utmost for your kingdom glory. We pray for those who serve in full-time capacities as ministers or missionaries or as church workers. We pray for those who serve you in their homes and in their workplaces and amongst their friendship and social circles. This Resurrection Sunday, we pray that you would fill each one of us with your resurrection power to share your love and your grace with others, so that they too may come to know your deep love for them and for the forgiveness which can be found in Jesus Christ. Suffering God, in Jesus you entered into the sorrow and pain of this world. And so we pray, O Lord, for those who are currently in the midst of sorrow and pain. We remember those who are sick. We remember the dying. We remember the bereaved, the lost, the lonely. And we ask, O Lord, that they would receive your comfort and your peace, even in the midst of their troubles. We especially lift before you this morning the friends and loved ones of Lara McKee, so brutally murdered on the streets of our land this week. Lord, we pray that her death will not be in vain, but will signal a new resolve to pursue peace and reconciliation throughout this land. We pray also for brothers and sisters in Christ in Sri Lanka, devastated by bombs this morning as they went to worship you this Easter Sunday morning. Hundreds dead, many more injured. In the wake of such devastation, death and injury, we pray that your love would arise this Easter Sunday morning and that your people would know the comfort and the peace of the gospel. Living God, we rejoice this Resurrection Sunday that death has been defeated and that Jesus is alive, offering hope and new life to all. Help us, Lord, to live in the resurrection light of Easter Sunday every day of our lives. May our hearts be ever thankful for your loving sacrifice for us. May our eyes be filled with the joy of our salvation. May our mouths be used to tell others of your great love for them. May our hands reflect your mercy and grace towards others. May our feet walk in the paths of peace. And may our lives bring honour and glory to you and to our Saviour Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We sing now our hymn 492, Before the Throne of God Above. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to a tree? This African-American spiritual song asks a very poignant question indeed. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And the answer is yes. I was there when they nailed him to the tree. Not physically present, but my sin and your sin and the world's sin was present that day when the Lord of the universe was crucified on the cross at Calvary. You see, the sins of men and women in the present, in the past before Jesus even came to this earth, and all the sins that will be committed in the future were nailed to that cross that day on Calvary's Hill. The prophet Isaiah foretold it many centuries before when he said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The Apostle Peter also tells us of this in his first letter in chapter 2 and verse 4, where he says, "He, as in Christ himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." So the prophets foretold that Christ would be pierced for our transgressions. Peter told us that he bore our sin on the cross at Calvary. And we in the Christian church today proclaim it day after day and year after year, testifying to the truth of Jesus' words when he said, "Here is my body broken for you, and here is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Christ calls us in this time and in this place to proclaim his death on Calvary's tree until that day when he returns to rule and reign forever. That is what we do when we gather together to share in the Lord's Supper together. It is what we do when we come to worship week by week. It is what we do as we seek to live for Christ in this world. We are here to testify to that truth, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. He died for my sin, and he died for your sin. He died for all sin. You may ask the question, well, why did he have to die? Why death? Death is the punishment of sinful living. It's the punishment of living a life that is far from the life that God has created us to live. And so the price of our rebellion, of our turning away from God, is that we no longer have the joy of living with him forever. And instead, we are sentenced to death. Because our holy and our righteous God cannot abide sin. He cannot live with sinful people. He cannot dwell with them or abide with them. He longs to be able to do that. But because of our sinfulness, there is a barrier between us and God. It is impossible for us to live a godly life. We all try very hard to do so. Some people may even succeed, or at least succeed to those who are looking on. They give a good impression of living a good life. No smoking, no drinking, no having sex outside of marriage, people who are kind to their neighbours, people who show generosity to those in need, people of integrity, people who regularly gather together at worship, supportive of all that the church does in the building and in the community. But despite all these good works, we know that we do not live godly lives that deserve an eternity with God, because we are all far from perfect. When it comes to our relationships with others, we so often fail other people. We fail to love them as Christ loves us. When it comes to our personal character, we too often fail to resist temptation and give in to the sins that we are so easily tempted to. For some, it might be greed, for others, anger, for others, selfishness, thoughtlessness, hatred. The list goes on and on. We know it in our own lives when we have those character flaws, those things that tempt us to do the things that we know we shouldn't do, or even those little thoughts that tell us, don't bother about doing that, Jane. Sure, you've done enough this week. Put your feet up, watch EastEnders, you know, tempting you away from doing the things that you're called to do. I do have to say, I haven't watched EastEnders in years, but that's beside the point. That came out there. Maybe it's revealing a little tendency there, I don't know. Anyway, it shows that we are unable to live a perfect life because we have flaws within our character, within our nature, because we are all sinful people. So we have sinned in our relationship with other people. We have hurt other people. We have sinned with our own character flaws and our tendency to give in to temptation. And we have also, and often this is an overlooked sin, we have sinned before God, for we have failed to give him the honour that is due in our daily living. So often when we think about sin, we think about how we deal with other people or how I deal with myself. But we are called to be made in the image of God, and we're called to daily worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is an area where each one of us fail day after day, despite our desire to do better. The sinfulness in our lives causes us to fail in that regard. So we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And like the rest of humanity, we are destined to be separated from God in this life, and then to be eternally separated from him in the life that is to follow. That is our destiny. But it wasn't meant to be that way. God created us to be in communion with him and to live with him forever. He wants to be reconciled to us. And yet our sinfulness creates that barrier between us and God. We couldn't break down the barrier. We're not able to do that. So God broke down that barrier for us when he sent his son Jesus into the world as a human being, to live that perfect life here on earth, to show what it means to walk the paths of peace, to show what it means to show kindness and justice and humanity to those we encounter on life's journeys, whether they are for us or against us, to show us what it means to stand firm in your faith in God in the face of opposition, even if that opposition comes close to home from the very religious leaders who are meant to be pointing people to God, were the very ones who were creating a barrier. And so Jesus stood up for God and he challenged that false teaching. He was willing to do that which was right and honouring towards God. And he paid the price for that. He was willing to die on the cross at Calvary not for anything that he had committed himself, but in order to be the perfect sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. He died for you, and he died for me, and he died for every single human being. He paid the price when he was pierced for our transgressions. It was our sin that held him there on the cross. And in his sacrifice, he paid the penalty for us. And God, in his grace, raised him from death to life and offers to him an eternity and gives Christ the responsibility and the honour and the privilege to offer his forgiveness to those who turn in repentance to him, to offer them new life. Jesus is the only one who can save us, because he is the one who has paid the price for us. So when we hear that question posed, were you there at the cross? The answer is yes, you were there. What role do you think you played on that first Good Friday? Who do you most identify with? What are your sinful tendencies? Where are the things that trip you up as you seek to live your life? Were you like Pilate? Do you know that there is something special about Jesus of Nazareth? Do you want to pursue it more wholeheartedly? But the lure of being popular makes you want to wash your hands of faith altogether and turn away from your Saviour. You'd much rather please other people, be popular in the crowd, than fear losing face, losing friends, losing influence by wholeheartedly pursuing Jesus. Do you, like Pilate, choose to side on the side of the world rather than to side with Christ? Or maybe you're like Herod, wanting Jesus to perform miraculous signs and wonders before you, and then when he refuses to dance to your tune, you mock him and look for someone else to distract you from the monotony of life, or someone else or something else which can meet your selfish desires. So are you like Herod, only out for what you can get from Jesus? And when that's not what you want, you cast him aside and go searching somewhere else. Perhaps you're someone who channels that inner Pharisee within you. You're someone who's always quick to point the finger of judgment towards others, but thinking that you have your religious life all sorted out. You obey all the rules. You take pride in your status and your standing in our community, in the church. But you fail to see that you too are a sinner in need of a saviour. Is your piety and your judgmentalism a barrier to knowing Christ as your Saviour? Or maybe you're like one of the disciples, hiding amongst the crowd, frightened to be identified as one of Jesus' followers, in case you face the same fate that he did. It's all too easy, isn't it, to hide in the crowd, to not take that step of faith, to be frightened by failure, wary of being ridiculed, concerned about what others might say or do to us because of Jesus. Are you someone who is too frightened to step out in faith? too concerned for your own self. I doubt that there are any of these people gathered here today, because you wouldn't be here if you were like this. But there are some people who are like the thief on the cross, who even in his darkest hour, as he hung on that cross and faced death, was so consumed with anger and with hate and with sin that he ridiculed the Saviour at his side. The thief who deserved all that he was getting, he justly deserved the punishment that he was receiving. And yet, even at that moment, he condemned, he ridiculed, and he insulted Christ. As a result of his condemnation of Christ, when the final judgment comes, the judge of all the earth will condemn him too. I trust that most of us who are gathered here today would prefer to be the thief on the other side of the cross, the one who recognized their own sinfulness, the one who saw with the eyes of faith that this Jesus who hung beside him was innocent. He was the Messiah. He had come to save his people. And so that thief on the cross turned to Christ and sought forgiveness and received a reward that he couldn't even begin to imagine. "Today," said Jesus, "you will be with me in paradise." His sins forgiven and new life received through faith in Christ. And we are no different. Each one of us gathered here today is a sinner in need of a Saviour. Many of us are already sinners saved by grace. We're still sinful people, but we're saved through the grace of Christ, through faith in Christ and all he's done for us. And we are seeking to live like Christ in the world today. But we still accept that we are sinners, that we get things wrong, and that we are always in need of Jesus' forgiveness and his restoration. But maybe you're someone there today who is still denying your part in the crucifixion of Christ. That you'd rather point the finger at others and fail to recognize the sin in your own life. Maybe you're too preoccupied about having a good time to care about what the consequences of your actions might be. Maybe you're someone who likes to keep their options open just in case. Come along to church just in case that's the right thing to do, but live your life whatever way you like the rest of the time. Do not take the Christian faith for granted. Do not rely on ritual and tradition to save you. Have a good, long, hard look at yourself this Easter Sunday morning and admit that you also are a sinner in need of salvation, that you need the forgiveness of Jesus, just as the thief on the cross did all those years ago. It will be a decision that you will not live to regret. Christ died on the cross at Calvary for the sins of the world. But we still need to turn to him in repentance and faith to receive that forgiveness he's earned for us. We still have to turn to him and receive that forgiveness. To accept that Christ's sacrifice, his death on the cross, the piercings in his side, the blood that was shed, was done for you and for your sin, so that you could be cleansed, forgiven and restored into a loving, living relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father. Christ's love paid for it all. His forgiveness sets us free so that we can live lives that bring glory and honour and praise to God. This good news that we have as Christians is not just for us, but it is for the whole world. And we have been tasked this Easter Sunday morning, just as those women were tasked as they came and found the empty tomb, to go and tell others the good news that Jesus is not dead. He is alive, and he can offer us forgiveness of sin and life eternal. So let us, if we believe that in our hearts, if we've received Christ's forgiveness in our lives, then let us go out from this place and be bold as we share the good news of the gospel in our words and in our actions, so that others may know the love that God has for them in Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice that you have indeed been raised from death to life, and that you are now seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins that can be found in your name, and for the new life that we receive through faith in you. So we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them and us for the goodness of your kingdom and for the advancement of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We finish our Easter Sunday service with a great hymn, a commissioning hymn, Go Forth and Tell, hymn number 634. Let us praise God together.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon you this day and forevermore. Amen.